I'm Father Jacek Mazur from Niagara Falls, originally from Poland, and it's a great joy for me to be here with you tonight here in Morgantown as we reflect upon the importance of mercy, mercy of God, and the mercy that we should be showing towards each other. Let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts with your wisdom, with your peace, and with your love. Help us to understand your truths. Help us to be faithful followers of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to imitate him faithfully through the intercession of Blessed Mother Mary and all the saints. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, my friends, we gathered here to contemplate and reflect upon mercy. Just last night, I had a chance to talk to the young people here about mercy, the idea of mercy, what it is, and how extremely important mercy is for our own salvation. Because when you really think about it, it is going to be all about the mercy that you and I will need from God in order to enter into heaven, based on the mercy that you and I were showing in this world. Very often people have a very confusing idea about mercy. They don't know exactly what mercy is. And why is it so essential to our Catholic faith to practice mercy? Why is it so essential for us to be merciful, to be loving, to be forgiving? Why is it so necessary that we show mercy in order for us to receive forgiveness? Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's what you and I pray in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us as we forgive. The problem of forgiveness seems to be one of the most desired topics that people want to listen to and about. They want to understand, why do I have to forgive? Why such a difficult task that Jesus is giving me? Sometimes almost seems impossible. Why do I have to forgive somebody who doesn't deserve my forgiveness? There are situations in life when you sometimes don't know what to do. People seem to have their ways. People seem not to listen. You try to convince them, you pray for them, and you don't always see the results of your prayer and of your efforts. You might be asking yourself, should I quit? I don't see any fruits of my prayer. I don't see any results in my spouse's life or in my children's life. I've been trying. It's like talking to a wall, getting discouraged. Why Jesus keeps telling me that I have to forgive, that I have to help, that I have to assist? The idea of mercy is nothing new for us Catholics. When you read the Bible, you will see stories about God's mercy from the Old Testament all the way through the Psalms, all the way to the end, to the New Testament. And yet, it seems like we have to reflect on it yet one more time. We remind ourselves that our God is a merciful God. And in order to bring peace and healing into this world, we have to become merciful. In order to bring God's grace and presence into this world,
we have to become merciful. We have to become vessels of God's mercy. Being in Niagara Falls, where I am, I have a chance to talk to a lot of people. People who come from all over the world. You never know who you're going to meet. Every day is different. Every day brings something new or somebody new. And there are people who come for tourist reasons. They want to see the beauty of the falls, the local area, this and that. And then there are those who come because they don't know where else to go. Like with this one man who, about 2 years ago now, came about 9:30 at night, ringing a doorbell in the rectory. I was sitting in the office, still working on some papers, some documents. All of a sudden, this doorbell. Go away. I can talk to him about it so late at night. But he keeps ringing. So I look through the window. There's this man in his late 60s. He doesn't walk away. He wants something. What do I do? I'm all by myself. It's late at night. What do? Do I open the door, invite him over, or what do I do? I don't know. He has a gun or what? I don't know what his intentions are. What am I supposed to do? I'm thinking, I'll give it a try. I'll open the door. So I opened the door and I said, can I help you? He said, Father, I need to talk to you. I'm not asking you, I'm begging you. Please help me. I'm ready to jump over the falls. I'm suicidal. I don't know where else to go. I'm begging you, please help me. I need to talk to you. What do you do? It's a risk, right? But I let him in. And he started crying. He said, I don't know where to begin. My life is ruined. My life is totally ruined. I don't know where else to go. I don't even gamble. And I'm here next door at the casino. Because I don't know where else to go. I'm ready to jump over the falls. I said, okay, tell me what happened. And he said, I just celebrated my birthday, my 67th birthday, the worst birthday in my entire life. He said, not because nobody came, nobody sent me a card or anything, but because I received this letter from my son, our only child, telling me how much he hates me, that I did not understand his feelings when he was young, that I wasn't there for him emotionally when he needed me, and that he hates me, and that he's going to start some group, some cult, and he's going to be the guru of the cult to create his own family much better than what I provided him. Father, I was a Marine, and I was providing for the family. My wife and I, we always had a good relationship. We were always taking care of this kid. He always had good clothes and shoes and gifts for birthday and for Christmas, and we were sending him to the best schools that we could afford. He was going on trips with kids and this and that. We're taking care of this kid. Not enough. He hates me because emotionally I wasn't there for him. I couldn't understand his feelings. So here's this letter. Read it. See, I'm not going to hate your personal letters. Read it because you won't understand what I'm talking about. 7 pages of basically hateful expressions of this hate, pure hate. Totally devastating for anything. He said, but that's not it. He said, within the last 2 years, 9 people that I knew and loved died, he said. Every 2-3 months, there was a funeral. My grandpa died. He was a wonderful man. He had a great impact on my family. He died. 2 of my uncles died. My next door neighbor, with whom we were always chatting and talking, he died. My buddy from the military, you know, with whom I was very close, and we were always talking and getting together. He died. He was also a Marine. Somebody else. He said 9 people died. I have no one to talk to anymore. They all died. Cancer, heart attack, accident, old age, whatever. He said, they all died. I'm absolutely devastated. This is every other month we get a funeral. But that's not all. My wife, 38 years of age, just last week, surprised me. Coming back from the church, I'm coming back home. She was never a church goer. She was always here, indifferent to the faith. I'm coming back home from the church, and there are boxes everywhere. Boxes here, boxes there. And I'm saying to her, what are all these boxes for? And she says, I'm packing. I'm moving. I said, okay, what's going on? Why do you need all these boxes for? She said, I told you, I'm packing. And I'm moving now. He said, no, seriously, why do you have all these boxes? She said, I told you, I'm leaving you. And he said, you're serious, right? And she says, yes, I am. After a few minutes, he said, where are you going? She said, it shouldn't really be none of your business, but just leave me alone. Everything is yours. You can keep this house. The car is yours. The savings in the bank are yours. I'm leaving. I'm going to Las Vegas. I'm getting married next week. And he said, okay, may I at least know who is the lucky one? And she said, I fell in love with another woman. Do me a favor. Don't try to find us. He totally shut down emotionally at that point. And he said, Father, don't tell me that I need to pray more, because I've been on my knees my entire time. But God doesn't seem to listen to me. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I've been trying my entire life. I've been working hard, dedicated to the country, dedicated to my family. I'm a churchgoer. I have a beautiful house in a beautiful neighborhood. I have a beautiful car. I have beautiful pension. I have pretty good health. And I have nothing to help me. What would you have promised me? Because I was speechless. And I had tears in my eyes when I was listening to him and his story. What would you tell me? What would you advise? At first, I did not know. I have to be honest with you. Because the man always says, you know, don't tell me that I need to pray more, because that's not the answer to my problem. I said to him, you need to start practicing mercy. He said, what? I said, you need to give proof of your faith and start practicing mercy. Okay, what do you mean by that? And somewhere deep down in my heart, I knew that he does not need a nice, sweet advice of an understanding priest, but he needs an order. Once a Marine, always a Marine. And I know that. So I said, listen, a few things here. I understand how difficult your situation is. And I have no words to describe it. If that happened to me, I don't know where I would be, to be honest with you. But this is not the end of you. Forget about the idea of jumping over the falls. You are not done yet. You are not done yet. And this is what you are going to do. And I will help you to turn your life around if you promise that you will follow what I tell you. Deal or no deal? No deal. First of all, you need to show mercy to your son. He wrote you this hateful letter. You have to write him back and tell him that you were very disappointed with the tone of his letter. You're going to tell him that you forgive him and that your door is still open for him. That he still has a father who is waiting for him. That he still has a chance to come back. That he still has a chance to repent of his wrongdoing and find support in you. And it doesn't matter if he's going to respond to this letter or not. Tell him that he can always come, he can meet over some beer or coffee or whatever, and just simply talk, like son, father and son. Just that. Write a letter to him, loving letter to your son. Do that first. Now, when it comes to your wife, you can't really stop her. She's free to go. Even God himself cannot force her to stay. All of a sudden, after 38 years of marriage, something happened to her. And she's getting married again. In Las Vegas. You can't stop her. You have to forgive her for wrongdoing. Again, that's practicing mercy. You have to let her be. You don't even know where she is at this point. She doesn't want to talk to you. She's totally indifferent to you. You have to pray for her. That's another form of mercy that you have to practice. You have to pray for her conversion every day. And I'm not guaranteeing you any results, or especially immediate results, but you have to pray for her every day. Just like you have to pray for your son as well. Now, when it comes to the deaths of your loved ones that you mentioned, death is part of life for us to believe. Death was not part of God's original plan. It came into this world because of sin of our first parents, who took upon themselves the consequences of sin. And the consequences of sin was suffering and death. They died. These nine people that you mentioned, they died. You have to pray for the repose of their souls. That's an act of mercy that I want you to practice. Offer masses for them. Offer, you know, your work, your sacrifices, your fasting, whatever. And it's a beautiful way of acknowledging them and helping them and supporting them. It's Christian mercy when you do that. And finally, is there anybody in your life still worth fighting for? Your father, there's really nobody. I don't know anybody else. Who do I know? Even in our neighborhood, we don't know each other. There's only this one woman across the street. You know, she's a single woman who adopted a child from Korea or from Vietnam or somewhere. And I know her only because she came a few times to our house. You know, she wanted to borrow something. So that's all I knew. I said, what are your skills, your talents? Well, I used to coach baseball when I was younger. I kind of enjoyed it, but you know, I didn't do that anymore. I said, do you know if that kid from across the street, if he plays baseball? He does, because I saw him, you know, a few times actually, you know, practicing in the backyard. I said, here's the thing. You are going to go across the street. Told me that it's a single woman raising this child. And you are going to buy him the best gear that is out there. And you, my friend, are going to be taking him to practice. And you're going to coach him. But I don't really know them that well. I said, this is what you're going to do. He's a good neighbor. She's single. There's a lot on her plate. You're going to help her with this kid. Okay. I said, that's not it. You're going to find a nursing home. And you're going to go there once a week. And you're going to spend some time. You're going to be a volunteer. You're going to spend some time with those people in the nursing home. I don't know, you can take them for a walk, you can talk to them, you can pray to them, whatever you decide. Once a week, you're going to the nursing home. Okay, that's not it. You're going to go and find a soup kitchen. And you'll be helping once a week in that soup kitchen. You told me you had time. Maybe they need a little bit of support. You're going to go and support the soup kitchen. Once a week. Okay, I said, that's not it. That's not all. In a month, you're going to come back here and report to me how you're doing. I said, okay, understood. I'll do that. I said, I know you can do that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be telling you this. That's all? I said, that's all. Don't jump over the falls. It's not worth it. You're not done yet. Dismiss. Okay. And he left. And I was praying for that man. The entire month I was praying for him. He set up the day, the time when he was coming. Waiting. The whole month involved with the children. I thought, probably just what it was. Probably lost it. Something was telling me to keep praying. The very next day, first thing in the morning, I'm getting a phone call from him. He said, Father, this is so-and-so. I really apologize. I didn't show up last night. I lost my calendar, and I was so busy. You gave me so many things to do. I apologize I didn't show up. Are you available tomorrow or day after tomorrow? I can come, you know, and we'll talk. I said, sure. Come on Wednesday. Okay, I'll be there. What time? I said, 4 o'clock. I'll be there at 4. Wednesday came, he showed up. He said, I really apologize again, this and that, but I got really involved in many things that you gave me, and it's not as easy as you might think, you know, to catch up with all these things and people and this and that, but I'm working on it, and so here is what I have to report. First of all, I wrote that letter to my son, forgiving him. I didn't hear back from him, but let's see what happens there. I'm praying for my wife. I'm still hurt because she left me, but what else can I do? I'm praying for her, as he told me. I'm praying for my loved ones who died. I offer masses for them and sacrifices. I really like the nursing home. I'm going there for about 5 hours once a week, and I didn't realize how much I enjoy being with those seniors there and talking to them and sharing stories and this and that. I really like that. I hate that soup kitchen that you told me to go to. I found it, and I'm going there, but those people, they smell. They don't take a shower. I hate being there, but I'm there serving them soup or something, you know, and it's not my favorite thing, but I'm doing it. And what else? Oh, I went across the street, and I told this lady there that I can, you know, coach her son, and I can take him for practice or this and that. She was thrilled, to my surprise. She said, oh, sure, yes, absolutely, he's going to love that. So I'm taking him 3 times a week, and I coach him 3 times a week. So I'm busy. I said, good. Keep doing what I asked you to do and come back to me in 2 months. You're not going to tell me anything else? No. That's it? That's it. Dismissed. 2 months, Wednesday, 4 o'clock, I'm meeting you right here. This time, with those of you. All right. You left. 2 months went by. He's back. Right on time, sharp on time, 4 o'clock, he's there. I said, what do we have to report? And he tells me, okay, I've been working on the things that you gave me to do, and I can tell you, from 2 days in that nursing home, I switched to 2 days because I really I really like it. I take them for a walk, we pray, we talk, we laugh. I didn't realize how enjoyable that actually is going to be. I still hate that soup kitchen, I have to tell you, but I go there and I do what they ask me to do. It's fine. I even give donations of food there, but I can't stand it there, but I'm doing it. I keep coaching the kid from across the street. He really enjoys baseball, and it's very fine. It's going well. His mother is thrilled because now she can do shopping, do grocery shopping, and she can do cleaning, and she can do other things. She doesn't have to, worry about his practice or anything. So it's going well. So good. I want to see you in 6 months from now, on Wednesday, July, whatever, or what. In 6 months, and that's all you are going to tell me? Yes. Keep doing what I told you to do, and come and see me in 6 months with the report. Okay. 6 months went by. He came back, and he says the same thing. I've been really busy. I switched from 2 days at the nursing home to 3 days because I really like those seniors there. And I'm really spending 6 hours there now because I really enjoy doing it. Still hate the soup kitchen. Love coaching the kid from across the street. I keep praying for my wife. I think I finally forgave her in my heart. It still hurts, but I think I'm forgiving her more today than earlier. Still haven't heard from my son, but I'm still hoping for the best. But Father, you're not going to believe this. A kid from across the street already called me grandpa. I said, good. Come and see me in 2 years. Keep doing what you want. But I finally saw a smile on his face. This third time that he came, he finally had a smile on his face. I said, keep practicing mercy. Keep practicing the mercy. And he did. His life totally changed. From a depressed man he was, he became a man who was actually sharing his time, talent, and treasure. Not wasting his time at all. The idea of mercy brought peace into his heart and into his life. The idea of mercy gave him purpose, gave him meaning, gave him something to think about, something to work on, not to just simply sit still, worry, and be depressed. And why me? Why is this happening to me? Why this? Why that? Sometimes, my friends, when we are in that state, when we don't know what to do, when things are going bad in our lives, or we are a little depressed over this and that, instead of asking ourselves, why is this happening to me, we should ask ourselves, what am I supposed to learn in this situation? And how am I supposed to use my talent and treasure and time to still make a difference in this world, to still give of myself, to still show that there is a different way that our Savior is showing. Life can be very unpredictable, my friends. Very unpredictable. I know stories that would shock you, but we don't have enough time tonight to hear them all. But there are totally unexpected situations in life that some people go through, not because of their own fault, but because of the things that were done to them. A friend of mine who was a business manager of one of the newspapers, he retired. Him and his wife, they retired, moved from Buffalo to Phoenix, Arizona. They were both playing golf. It was a perfect state for golf, sunny every day, beautiful weather, nice and warm. They sold their house, they moved down there, hoping that they will be always welcome. They will have a chance to welcome their grandchildren and children, and they would babysit for them, and they would spoil the grandkids and do this and do that. And basically, well-planned retirement down in Arizona.
Phoenix, Arizona. Well, one day, one of his sons who worked for a company in South Carolina was killed. He was in a position of he had some higher position in that company, and him and the business manager had to make a decision of letting two people go from the company. And they did. They paid them off. And one of them came the next day with a gun and killed both him and the business manager. Cold blood, just like that. My friend's son was a young, talented man, engaged to a beautiful girl who was already making plans for the wedding. Everything was supposed to be so beautiful, so nice. All of a sudden, this tragedy. As a parent, you were never the same until you lose your child. You were always so happy with that son, because he was a talented one, the whole thing. They invested in him. He was sent to the best schools. He was a good boy, good, Catholic, talented boy. All of a sudden, this finished. My friend Phil, he at first did not know what to do. His wife shut down. She was sitting in her room the entire time, crying, crying, day after day, for months. He was trying to talk to her. Listen, Nancy, you gotta move on. It's not our fault. It was your fault, because you wanted him to work for that company. And he said he wanted to work for that company. It's a good company. He was well paid. He was happy there. But it's your fault, because you wanted him to be there in South Carolina. I hate you. All of a sudden, his marriage is falling apart. He's also a parent grieving the loss of the child. But he went to see a psychologist. He went to see a priest. He got involved in the church, local church, with many different things as a volunteer. She, on the other hand, does not want to talk to anybody. She doesn't want to talk to him. She doesn't want to talk to her other children, neighbors. She doesn't go to church anymore. She doesn't pray. She said, I don't believe in all of this. Leave me alone. Totally shut down. Just last year, she filed for divorce. She wrote a line on the floor. She said, this is your hat, this is my hat. Don't you cross this line. Stay in that side of the house. Don't cross to my side. Reservoir. Eventually led to selling the house and dividing the whole property and everything. Huge battle in the court. My friend Phil said, that's it. If you told me 10 years ago that this is how my life is going to look like in my retirement, I would never believe. In my darkest dreams, I would never believe that something like this is going to happen, and my life is going to be ruined like this. He said, I'm doing okay only because of mercy, the idea of mercy. He admitted that I received from God, and now I'm practicing. I decided to be involved in the works of mercy in the church, as I see the need for it. And this is the only thing that gives me purpose in life. I see how simple that world is out there. I see how much hatred and jealousy there is out there. I see what people are able to do out of hatred or jealousy. The man who killed my son, Leon, I already forgave him. I've been praying for him. I was able to do that only because of what I've learned in Jesus about mercy. I just visited Phil a few months ago. He's doing much better. He's very much at peace. And he keeps going. And he keeps praying. And he didn't give up on God or his church. He's every single day in the pew praying to God for those who have hurt him instead. And he's forgiving. My friends,
there are times when we are bombarded with things
that we would never expect would happen to us. There are times when, out of the blue, all of a sudden, things are just happening in our lives. And we don't know where to go with it. We don't know where to turn. We don't know how to react. We have to always remember that God can change things around for us. He can help us to understand ourselves much better. He can help us to understand the whole situation much better. He can help us to forgive and to start all over again. Some people love God. They love going to church. They love to pray if things are going well. But then when they are tested, and their faith is being tested, and their health is tested, ooh, I don't know what kind of God is he that he's allowing for something like this in my life. Why is this happening to me? Why all these people all of a sudden, or this person, or that person? And many people lose faith over that. When they are hurt by another person, or when they are going through some health problems, physical problems. This is where, again, God comes to our rescue with his message of mercy. That you and I need to understand very well. Pope Francis seems to see the need for mercy because he sees how hurt this world is. He knows what's going on out there between the nations, in different countries. He has a chance to travel. People tell him things. And he knows that the only medicine that we have available is mercy. We need to accept God's mercy. We need to start forgiving each other. Forgiving each other. This last night, I was sharing with our young people the story of a woman who came to confession to me after some 50 years of not going to confession. She came with tears and she started telling me about all the sins of the past. It was a long confession. 50 years, imagine, 50 years. We were there in that confessional for quite a while. But finally she got to the point where she says, Father, here's the difficult thing. I don't even know how to tell you about this. I'm so embarrassed to tell you about it. I don't tell me. I was raped as a little girl by my grandfather. Not once, but twice, but for almost 3 years. I will never forgive this pastor. I will never forgive what he did. Now I will never forgive my grandma either. She knew about everything. She covered me. He said, I understand how difficult it is for you to forgive your grandfather. But at least you have to have the willingness to forgive him. Maybe not now, maybe now you don't have the feelings for forgiveness, but you need to have the willingness to forgive him. No, I will never forgive this person.
Can you imagine what he did to me? I was only 4 years old.
I said, listen, I won't be able to give you absolution tonight if you still harbor grudges against your grandfather and you are not willing to forgive him. Well, if that's the case, that's fine. I will never forgive you. And I said, I will pray for you and hope that one day you will, but at this point I have to dismiss you, I can't give you absolution. You have to forgive in order to receive forgiveness. She said, no. And I can't do that. And she left. See, in order to receive forgiveness, we have to be forgiving as well. In order to receive mercy from God, we need to practice mercy. And you've heard of corporal and spiritual works of mercy, right? I'm not going to go through them all tonight. You just don't have enough time for it. But go to the catechism. Remind yourself what they are and pick at least one. At least one. And maybe make a decision of doing one good deed a day. Whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be anything expensive or time-consuming or very difficult to do. Just one good deed a day. The Lord Jesus said to St. Faustina Kowalska, I give you 3 ways of exercising mercy. Word, deed, and prayer. Do not try to excuse yourself from showing mercy. You are to show mercy to your neighbors always and everywhere. Think about it. Think about what's the best way in your life to show mercy to your neighbor. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's your teacher. Maybe it's your neighbor next door. Maybe it's some relative or somebody who's driving you crazy every single time you talk to them. Maybe it's somebody who's bringing you to your boiling point, and you have it up to here. Maybe it's somebody who has disappointed you terribly. You have a chance, you have a way of addressing the issue. And please, don't think that mercy is pretending that nothing bad happened. And you're going to be, from now on, trying to be nice to this person. Mercy addresses the issue, my friend. Mercy acknowledges that something bad did happen, and now we are trying to find ways how to bring healing to that situation. Mercy acknowledges that some sin took place sometimes, and forgiveness is needed, and healing is needed. One of the works of mercy is admonishing a sinner. It's one of the most challenging ones. Yeah, go ahead. You want to punch in the nose tomorrow? Go and admonish a sinner. Tell him or her what wrong they are doing. You have a reaction, guaranteed. And be prepared, because very often that reaction will be anger. Very often the reaction to the truth is anger. People don't want to hear the truth. People don't want to hear the good news of salvation. People don't want to hear what Jesus has to say. They prefer to do things their own way. They don't like to carry crosses. Nobody does, let's be honest. They want things their way, on their terms. Admonishing a sinner is one of the most difficult works of mercy, but give it a try. If we won't do it, who will? Consider meditating upon the mercy of God. This is what Pope Francis tells us. You've got to start with meditating upon the mercy of God. Take some time.
in your busy schedule, and just simply sit down for 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever your time allows you, and think about how merciful God is for you personally. Think about the mercy of Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice that He paid for us on the cross. Think about how He forgave the woman caught in adultery. Think about how He is that good shepherd who gives rest to our souls, who helps us, who is willing to find us when we are lost, like a lost sheep. He is willing to find you, take you into His arms, and bring you back home. Think about the examples of the saints that we have, so many of them to mention, too many to mention, how they practiced mercy in their lives, how they were striving for perfection, how they were trying to do something to bring others closer to God.
We as Catholics, we have been entrusted with so much, and we have the fullness of truth. We have so many inspirational thoughts and ideas and popes and saints, the teaching of our church. See, love of souls must be our motivation and constant motivation. Our constant motivation. Not only your own soul, so that you would get to heaven one day, but also other souls entrusted to you. There are so many hurt people out there that need a helping hand. A person with whom you just talk, in confidence. There are so many people who need forgiveness, hug, words of comfort. And you know very well that words can make a huge difference. So not only what you say, but how you say it makes such a great impact on people. You can destroy somebody's reputation and somebody's good name by gossip, unnecessary comments and talks, or you can lift that person up, inspire that person to do good. You can help that person to find motivation in life, sense of life, purpose of life, with your words. With your words. Find a way in this year of mercy to meditate upon mercy, learn more about mercy, and share that mercy with others. This is, my friend, the surest way to heaven. And sometimes, and this is a difficult one, sometimes you also have to forgive yourself and show mercy to yourself. Many people have no problem with forgiving others. They have a very difficult time forgiving themselves. And you're dragging all through life a heavy load of unforgiveness. They forgave others long ago. They never forgave themselves. And it brings sadness to their hearts. Very often they are depressed. Very often they are with their heads down. You never see a smile on their faces, or when you see a smile, it's kind of artificial, fake. We don't know what is happening in people's lives sometimes. But the sacrament of confession tremendously can help others, other people, to free themselves from the heavy load of sin and unforgiveness. I strongly encourage you, you have a beautiful chance here to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation almost every day. Take advantage of it for your own sake so that you can grow spiritually. Give yourself a chance to be reconciled with God, to be on the same page with God. And maybe encourage those who have drifted away from God and His sacraments. Bring them back.
Encourage them to come back.
Encourage them to see light in the tunnel
that maybe they are looking for. Christ really counts on you in this matter. Your hands are the hands that He wants to use. Your tongue is the tongue that He wants to use. Your legs, your heart, your head, your tongue. He wants to use all of that for the good and benefit of another person. Think outside of the box. Think how we can show that mercy in the best possible way.
My friends, practicing spiritual and corporal works of mercy is one of the best things that you can teach your children.
As a mother or father, a future mother, a future father, one of the best gifts that you can give to your child is to teach that child how to forgive, how to ask for forgiveness, and how to receive forgiveness. It's a very important aspect of you teaching the child some great valuable lesson for the future. It's one of the greatest gifts, altogether with the gift of faith, of course, that you can give to your child. You teach your child how to forgive. None of us is perfect, as we know.
And just last night, I'll be finishing soon,
I encouraged our young people to evaluate their conscience, examine their conscience. And we already see some good results. Even today, some of them were telling me about some of the good deeds that they already did since yesterday. If you think that you're such a good and perfect good Christian because you go to the church, you know, once a week, and you say your morning prayer and evening prayer, and you're such a good person, and you're going to be in heaven, and you're so sure about it, let me bring you to the right level where you are by quoting St. Paul,
his first letter to the Corinthians, where he talks about love. Love is patient, St. Paul says. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails.
This is one of the most known texts in the entire Bible. Now we're going to remove the word love from this text and put our own names. And let's see where we are. I'll be saying my name, you'll be saying your own name.
Okay? Repeat after me. Jacek is patient. Jacek is kind. Jacek is not jealous. Jacek is not pompous. Jacek is not inflated. Jacek is not rude. Jacek does not seek his own interests. Jacek is not quick-tempered. Jacek does not brood over injury. Jacek does not rejoice over wrongdoing. Jacek rejoices with the truth. Jacek bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Jacek endures all things. Jacek never fails. I don't know where you are in your life,
but maybe you have drifted away a little bit from me.
Maybe far, maybe not so far.
If you sometimes want to become more realistic about who you are or where you are in your faith, go back to 1 Corinthians.
Kingdom of Love.
St. Paul,
will give you a very good, clear understanding of how close or how far you are from God. It will help you to understand where you, as a Christian, give your witness and testimony to the faith. Many people want to get to heaven, spend eternity with God, but they are not willing to spend 1 hour a week with Him in the church or in the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Many people want to receive mercy from God and forgiveness, but are not willing to forgive their fellow brothers and sisters, friends and family members. My friends, we have to become authentic in our faith and realistic in our faith. There is so much that needs to be done. We can't just simply sit still and do nothing. There's so much work that needs to be done. John Paul II told us, be disciples of mercy. Go out there and tell people about the mercy of God. We are asked to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, ransom the captive, and bury the dead. We are asked to instruct the ignorant, to counsel the doubtful, to admonish sinners, to bear wrongs patiently, to forgive offenses willingly, to comfort the afflicted, and to pray for the living and the dead. We are asked to be honest, loyal, truthful. We are asked to be authentic Christians. Only in this way we can be on the surest way to heaven. Only in this way we can give testimony to our faith. Only in this way we can reach the promise of heaven. Promise given to you and me at our baptism when we are adopted as sons and daughters of God. Don't be discouraged when you make mistakes, when you sometimes fail, when things are not going your way. Don't be discouraged. Don't you be discouraged. Keep on going. Keep on praying. Keep on giving of yourself. Keep on marching. Discouragement is one of the most effective and the most powerful weapons that the evil one is using against you. Be aware of that. Don't allow him to rob you of your inner peace. God is more powerful than the forces of evil in this world. God's grace and mercy are always available for those who want it, for those who are open to it. God's mercy is greater, and we can never, ever lose our hope and trust in Him. No matter what sins you have committed, you can never doubt in God's merciful love for you. Share the mercy with others. Talk about mercy. Teach others how to be merciful. And in this way, when you one day will make it up there, you'll be welcome to that kingdom that God prepared for you. And though when we meet up there, and for some reasons you have difficulties entering because you did not know that you have to show mercy to your neighbor in this world, guess what, my friend? You were told on February 5th, 7 o'clock at night, Mazur told you, in the presence of all these fine people here, who'd say, oh yeah, you were told. You were told. We were there too. Be merciful, just as your Heavenly Father is merciful, so that you might hear the words of your Savior, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and enjoy the kingdom of heaven prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You will be all in my prayer. Thank you.